Welcome to Your Artificial Friends episode. I've lost count.
I think it's 13.
I think 12, it's, yeah, might be 13. This is going to be an important one for a number of reasons. I've got Josh Flieger here and what's your name again?
Larry Morgan.
Larry Morgan.
That's all right. Happens all the time.
First things first, I figured this thing needed a jingle.
I was going to say, there should be some little piece of music at the top.
I was just noodling with this last night. Tell me what you think.
All right.
When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Beautiful. You nailed it.
So, look forward to that.
Yeah, let's. Do we get to sing along?
I wish you wouldn't.
Oh.
But the second thing that we should probably take care of is this.
Ooh.
Hey, eh?
Ooh. Yeah,
What is this that you brought?
Diet soda.
Diet.
I don't know why we're concerned about it.
This is from the Strand Brewing Company.
Strand Brewing Company, and if you have better eyes than I do, you can figure out in the small printing where that is. It is California for sure.
I'm guessing that's down on the South Bay somewhere. Yeah.
Is that like an amber ale? Looks kind of.
It is a very. This is a 5.0 wimpy little way to start here. Oh, ABV. So it's a very light. Very drinkable. I have never had this before. I've had none of the beers that I've brought tonight. Never had them before.
Top it off.
The labels are awesome. Did you see the superhero looking label on the double IPA I brought?
No.
It's so cool.
Larry.
Check out the what?
Spoiler alert.
I'm sorry.
God. Here's to you, fellas.
Cheers.
So we didn't intend for this to be a beer episode, but it happens. And I brought one, so it looks
maybe
like
it should just be a beer podcast.
It looks like it's going.
Is it too late to evolve?
It's trending that way.
Maybe it just has. It has a beer flavoring, not necessarily, but yeah. I mean, we can talk about beer and it can be about anything
I think
else.
There should be a beer thread through it.
I have no problem with that whatsoever. I mean, I can even start a little early. You want me to get jumping a gun on everything?
Show up already primed?
Yeah, exactly. Stumbling into the podcast.
So, some bookkeeping things to take, or some notes, programming notes to take care of here off the top of this. This episode is going to be about the sound and its demise, which just happened a couple of days ago.
Do you want to, by chance, anybody who doesn't necessarily follow your illustrious broadcasting career?
We should say that
maybe you tell them what the fuck you're talking about.
It's a radio station in Los Angeles, 100.3 The Sound. It is no more. It's been promoted to glory. It's gone the way of the stagecoach.
It went to heaven, apparently, because they started asking for donations and playing God music right after that. By the way, I was listening to your last break. It was very moving, by the way.
Oh, nice.
And very Andy.
Yeah.
It was. And I'm watching. I'm actually talking to Bean from Kevin and Bean.
Kevin and Bean. Right.
At the time, because he's in New Orleans. And he said, "What time is it?" I was like, "Oh, crap." And so we both, like, punched over and I heard you say your farewell, and the digital readout on my HD radio in my office after about, I don't know, how long was it, 45 seconds of dead air or something?
Yeah.
It went from KSWD to KKLQ in front of my eyes.
Yeah.
And it freaked me. I've never seen that before.
That's an act of God.
That freaked me out.
That's fantastic.
And then I heard uplifting and hopeful, and I was out. I was gone.
I immediately just turned behind me and elbowed my receiver like, "You're done. No more need from you."
I don't need any uplift.
And when I got in that morning, the very first thing I did is immediately deleted the 100.3 on my preset.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't want to come down here after I just bawled my eyes out and then get in my car and hear, Jesus.
I want to know what you replaced your preset with. What did you guys, did you do
it? I haven't yet. I listened to KLOS a couple times.
Yeah, that's going to be where I probably. Okay.
When I go to radio, probably be KLOS, but I'm doing a lot of podcasts.
Is it going to be a while before you want to listen? When as long as we're talking about the sound, I was released from my duties there. about halfway through its run.
An alcohol-related release as well.
That's your story. And by the way,
Larry ordered a $200 bottle of wine.
No, Larry and Andy ordered a $200 bottle of wine, and it had nothing to do.
One of us worked there up until a couple of days ago.
See? It caught up to you, didn't it?
Oh, before we move any further, I forgot one thing. Sam Farmer's on assignment.
Okay. Oh, that's right.
Should have added that right there at the top. But, and one other quick thing. Yeah. I wanted to get this out before I forget, because I know I will later. We've got a new logo that may or may not take effect. I don't know if it's on this one or not. Got to do some click some radio buttons. Okay. But thank you to Dave Kessler for doing that for me. Great graphic artist.
Nice work.
And you can just go to Dave Kessler, KESSLER. design.com, DaveKesslerDesign.com. I would forget that later.
So they're not going to have any problem changing the logo at all?
I think what I have to do is just resend the link to where it's hosted at Audio Boom to iTunes. And
I think so.
Then they could probably get that thing where it says the Andy Chamley Podcast.
Right? Man, I can't get it out of there. Uh-huh. I don't know how. Yeah. Honest to God, I can't.
Sure.
Okay, when we're done, uh-huh. let's get on to here. No, and you can walk me through how to get that.
Why
out
don't
there.
You? Why don't you give out the number and let people know how to do it, call us and tell us we can do it step by step.
I just realized.
You don't know the number?
I do know the number. Oh. The thing I'm terrified about is I just set us up to receive phone calls. Look at all this nest of wiring.
Yeah.
It took
surrounded by beer.
and other fluids.
Yes. Smart idea. It took me a couple hours to figure out how to do a mix minus on this box and get it into my mixing board so that we could talk to people, do interviews.
Yeah, sure.
And
or crank calls.
Yeah, and for that matter, we could have, I wonder where in the world Sam Farmer is. We could have him on this.
Yeah.
Hopefully this opens up a little bit of a window to help us do that kind of stuff. But trying to figure all of this out, it's a complete nest, and you just made me realize it's my home number.
Oh, jeez.
That I'd be giving out to folks.
Okay.
We're going to have to reconsider that.
Let's call Kay Love and ask for Freebird.
Okay. I was driving home through Bakersfield one Sunday morning. I was a little bleary.
And if you're down on your luck.
Stop. We'll owe money to the Rollers.
That's all right. I think we're safe right there. Right. Anyway, my point was, when I left the sound, my time, I actually stopped listening to radio for a while. That's where I discovered podcasting, because I had been aware of podcasting and had none of them on my phone.
Right.
And I was so pissed off at radio. I was like, and somebody had recommended.
And it's like hurtful. You just start, you're listening to it and you're like, oh, that was a good sweeper right there.
Yeah.
You can't get out of the mentality that I don't work at a radio station anymore. You know?
So I didn't stop listening to the sound, I just didn't listen to the radio for a while.
Right.
And so I started with Mark Maron's WTF and the Nerdist podcast, because somebody had recommended a specific one where Hardwick was talking to Tom Hanks. And I was in. I was like, oh, okay, this will satisfy. I would, exercise and run and stuff, and I could listen to my own music. And for a good few months, I just didn't even want to listen to radio. I was personally hurt. So I was curious how you guys are feeling.
Do you listen to podcasts at all?
I've got a few that I'll check out. I have Your Artificial Friends.
Yeah.
No,
that's
I've
my
got
number one.
With a bullet. Mm-hmm. I should check where we are in the charts. Just checked the charts
yesterday.
With we showed up on their top.
I'm telling you, people, the group texts that I have to sit through. I'm trying to watch a movie last night, and it's like, bling, bling, and then it's a freaking routine. It's like a comedy routine. You guys, can I read? I think I deleted it. You should read a transcript of the crap that's going back and forth between you guys.
It's not pleasant.
Yeah, I don't know. We'd have to review that before I actually read it.
Oh, that's right.
I want to see what I said first.
I do believe significant others are mentioned from time to time, so maybe we got to be careful about that.
Probably best. Let's see. I've listened to Adam Carolla.
Yep.
I've listened to Joe Rogan a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I've listened to Stuff You Should Know.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one. I like that.
And it really has to be a topic or a guest that I care about.
Right.
I've listened to Nerdist, because Chris Hardwick, we know him, and he just had terrific gets, you know, Paul McCartney and stuff. It's like,
I'm telling you, I when I started listening, it was because of a Tom Hanks interview that somebody recommended, mm-hmm. and in particular, it was just really inspiring and really I needed it at the time. And then he kept getting like cool because they get like nerdy guests, and then they were, and I'm telling you, he got Rick Moranis on one time, who I thought nobody, I didn't think Rick Moranis was talking to anybody.
Yeah, I was gonna say, didn't he?
And I literally, I think I sent an email to Nerdist, not or Nerdist at Nerdist.com or whatever, and said, you guys should just shut down because that should be the final one. Getting Rick Moranis on, who talked about everything, talked about SCTV and Ghostbusters.
You know, he's
and,
probably one of those guys that's happy to talk about it, but just can't be bothered.
He
by,
doesn't care.
Yeah,
he doesn't care about the business anymore. Yeah. He's so not. It was fascinating. So yeah, I.
So those few, you know, I'll check out from time to time. Too. It's not my milieu.
I'm sorry.
Milieu.
Apparently, neither is French.
Over and under, Josh. Larry will get less surly or more surly the more beer he drinks.
Have you ever heard the Sporkful, that podcast?
No.
It's this Dan Pashman guy who's he was on the Cooking Channel or something.
Yeah.
And it's just this really great. It's he just explores stories that involve food but aren't about food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That. Yeah.
And it's just really interesting. I listened to that one and Freakonomics Radio. You listen to that one too?
Huh.
It's just this great kind of unusual way to look at a problem and then have an answer to that problem that you wouldn't guess would be the solution. You know what I mean?
Right. So,
but that's kind of the ones, and the Corolla one I listen to, I still check out with
to. Yeah, and I haven't listened to it yet, but everybody around me has been raving about the Micro. Does like, you know, 5-minute vignettes on people. It's kind of like a Paul Harvey, you know? And this person became, you know, Neil Armstrong.
Oh, those those nice small bite ones are good.
Although he doesn't do it as Paul Harvey.
Mike Rowe, Mike Rowe does is supposed to. I haven't checked it out, but Mike Rowe does a quick little podcast. Yeah. It's like that 5 minute.
That's what
thing.
I just said.
Yeah.
Oh, I.
When I said Micro,
I literally thought MICRO.
I did too. Because when Andy said Micro, it sounded like Micro.
Yeah, I'm like,
when you said Micro, it sounded like Micro. But Micro podcast sounds right. It's only 5 minutes.
Like, it's exactly.
Did he mean it?
I'm sure he did. It's a little joke.
Well, the you know Micro. What? Screw you, Micro.
I'll bet you
you're
both
perfect.
Of them are really good.
It's the Micro podcast.
So we got a little bit off on a tangent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So the sound.
Yeah.
I know there are many people that have very little else to do, but wonder what it was like to shut that down. I'm interested to hear you, Josh, and what your take on all of this was, because you are a behind the scenes person for the most part at the sound, but you know, after through Mark in the Morning, you became household word. People that listened to 100.3 in Los Angeles and around the world knew who you were, because Josh was the one, Larry, whenever we finished with the show, he'd come out and walk into the doorway and lean against the threshold and look off wistfully into the yonder and say, what if we... And every time what followed that phrase was gold. What if we... pitched cabbages to a Major League Baseball player.
See, that's where a Josh comes in handy, is the guy who only speaks when something really weird is going to come out, but it's always gold.
I feel it's like more than my stupidity is my wheelhouse. You know what I mean? I excel in that, and that's what I brought to the table.
But it's excellent stupidity.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is maybe a better name for
excellent
this podcast.
Stupidity. Fantastic.
It might be a better name for
the Micro podcast. Yeah. Maybe we do a second one.
Well, that one's not taken. The Micro podcast. I like it.
Or we should just call this the Micro podcast if he hasn't already.
So Josh was that guy, and he's always, and he's also a font of joy. He was, because there were times, as you might imagine, that there was. Okay, you don't go through dismissing people like Larry or, you know, Mark Thompson. His time there came to an end, and for reasons I don't know all of, but I know some of. And generally, these are all business decisions that people were making. And you can't have those kinds of things happen. Personnel changes, personality clashes sometimes. You can't have all of that happen without a little bit of friction, without a little bit of unpleasantness sometimes in the hallways. And I think that anyone who worked there would agree with me that there was some of that. This joy, but there was some of that as well. Josh was the great lubricator the entire time.
Hey, that's weird enough. That's my high school nickname right there.
The lubricator.
Here comes the great lubricator.
Whenever we needed a little slice of ginger to cleanse the palate, Josh would be around with, a new beef jerky or, I just pickled some some cucumber spears in
Kool-Aid.
And that kind of that's the stuff.
Mark Thompson at one point in time referred to me as, I think he just walks around and eats pretzels and hangs out in people's offices. I don't know, on air, he's like, I don't know what he does. But every time I'm there, he's just hanging out eating pretzels in somebody's office.
That was pretty much it.
That's about right.
But
right?
That kept several of us sane throughout the entire last several years. And so that's who Josh is. I was just curious what your feeling of everything that was happening, because your voice isn't one that was heard a lot.
And tell me, how long cumulatively?
7 years.
7 years.
Okay. I started off as a street team, but...
Yeah. Had a good long stretch from different perspectives.
Yeah. The last day, I don't know. It was just... What a lot of people don't understand is we'd known this day was going to happen for the longest time, and I think that was just wearing on everybody. Mm-hmm. Was like, when is this going to end? I know we're enjoying it, but it's just we don't know. They just keep saying, and then all of a sudden you get, hey, it's going to be tomorrow, and they'd be like, okay, and then they'd be like, no, it's not tomorrow, and you're like, oh, okay. And they're like, it's going to be this day. No, I think that kind of wore on a lot of people.
I gotta imagine it wore on.
I've never experienced that before.
It was bizarre, and for people that are wondering, because we didn't do a lot of talking about this on the radio, we didn't know, and all of these decisions were based on, money changing hands, on legal things, on technical things, all sorts of different fingers in this pie, and governmental things.
It wasn't arbitrary. It was just literally they couldn't do anything until it was done.
Yes. Basically.
Well, this is how long it went. Is when we did the A to Z, that was going to be.
We thought that was going to be it.
We had a gray area.
And you didn't know when.
That was 2 weeks ago.
We had a gray area that said it's probably going to happen between this date and this date. So we were like, well, let's make a super great, awesome A to Z, and hopefully we get the plug pulled in the middle. And it'll sound cool because we just went off on the Z or on the S's or something. We didn't know.
Would you have rather known, even if it was months in advance, would you have rather known it was a specific day?
Me personally, absolutely.
Yeah. And going ahead.
I mean, it makes sense.
I mean, the analogy I drew, it was like, I felt like Tom Sawyer going to his own funeral day after day after day after day.
Yeah.
And it was nice to get people saying nice things. But after a while, when you get to the point where people saying nice things just reminds you of, oh, shit, there's another day of not knowing when the sword's going to fall. It just got to the point where, it's like when you quit smoking and everybody you run into says, hey, how's that quitting smoking thing going? It's the last thing you want to hear.
Because
it's stress. It's a big ball of stress you're carrying around.
And Dave turned it up a notch on the music programming. So you'd be sitting there just working, and then all of a sudden you heard the song that you knew we played a long time ago, we haven't heard in 5 years or something, and you would just hear that and be like, damn, this station sounds so good right now. And you're like, and we gotta pull the plug.
I know. That added another layer of bittersweet, which is there was stuff popping. I heard Walk the Line by Johnny Cash one day, and it was like, I remember when we actually played that in regular kind of rotation, and it sounded so good.
I was playing songs in the morning that literally have never been played on the radio. I mean, I'm Nick Lowe songs that have never been broadcast.
Yeah.
Not even by accident.
Yeah.
And I was loving it. It was fantastic. We talked about this in the Getting to Know Larry podcast, and we got wonky and boring, I'm sure, for a lot of people, but in general...
I know I was.
In general, just a quick nut graph here to catch you up. In general, radio stations, commercial radio stations, the less familiar music they play, the lower the ratings they get.
Yes.
Because people will say they want to be challenged and want to hear different stuff, but they tend to gravitate toward what they are familiar with. Now then, our ratings were in the turlet for a while there, and did we get a little safe and a little too measured towards in the last couple of years? I feel like, yeah, but you can't.
Had we not, we wouldn't have been, just flat out, we wouldn't have been there.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I think when the playlist shortened up a little bit, I believe somebody had told me before, like, if we didn't change right there, we probably would have been gone within a month.
Yeah. Right. And
probably you were on the, I think that station was on the precipice. Clearly, even the time I was there, it was kind of let's wait around. Bonneville, I think, was going, KLOS has got to be changing format one day, right? I mean, Cumulus bought them, and everybody kind of thought KLOS would be the first to go down. They're going to put a country format on there and or whatever.
Yes, because Cumulus had their Nash format,
they
right?
Which is a national format that they were doing well with in a number of other markets.
I'd even heard sports talk at one point in
right.
time.
And it just never happened. And I think that there was a sense that if we just hold out, we're going to be the only classic rock in town. And by default, we'll get some of those people there. So I think Dave has said this publicly, it's kind of remarkable it lasted as long as it did.
Yeah, when it wasn't supposed to really happen to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the sound shared listeners with K-Earth, but you know, the classic titles that you guys would play, with KLOS,
right.
All the classic rock, with not as much lately, but used to be Star and
Jack,
and even K-Rock, a couple of titles. And so when you play rock music and you're the classic hits, the one in the center,
yeah.
Then everybody's in your music shorts
yeah.
all the time.
And if you don't offer anything else beyond, I work for a station now at K-Earth that is a very tight playlist. It is very tried and true familiar songs. And the difference is we surround that with high profile contests, a lot of personality. Mm-hmm. There's always, elements of fun going on. It is a different presentation. It's a different focus.
And that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be the station
it's designed for
that you can turn on a transistor radio at the beach and it feel like summer every single time.
And part of that is because that's its heritage. Even though we've moved, we've evolved in terms of what the music focus is, that's the heritage of that station, as you know what you're going to get, and it's also going to be fun, and there's going to be big contests, and you're going to win prizes, and it's just kind of, right. That's what it is. And the sound, I don't think, had the ability to offer that, and I think their big play was bringing Mark back in, thinking that was going to kind of revive something that he would be the foundation of what the station would be in terms of trying to be a nostalgic.
And it did.
Yeah.
And, I'm not in radio, so I can talk about Nielsen. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't, but I can. There's the ratings are figured on such tight demographics. So there's one big demographic. The big demographic is 25 to 54. And about 6 or 7 months after Mark got there, we had some of our biggest listeners. Mm-hmm. And if you understood how few listeners dictated what your ratings are.
Yeah. I was going to say, maybe even take a second to explain how the process works.
Yes, they use this algorithm. And there are, 10 million people in Los Angeles? They're about 3,000 meters. So yeah. One person has a massive amount of weight. And I think at any given time, our biggest listening was figured by 17 meters.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's ridiculous. So you think of that number, 17, and figure that at one point, and they'll have households. So there can be a household where, you know, five people in the household can have one of these meters. And in this one household, there were like two people. One guy had his 55th birthday. Mm-hmm. And so he's out of that demo. And our ratings were whacked balls.
That male 25-54.
Do you remember that story Dave told us about? There was some guy, and he like lived in Miami, and he was on, you know, he had a meter.
Oh, yeah.
And he went on vacation to Atlanta for a week. And he listened to some other station in Atlanta, and that station in Atlanta became like the third most popular station in Miami because he had been listening.
They had it on nonstop. Yeah,
exactly.
And then as soon as he went back to Miami, they went down the tubes.
Exactly.
It was ridiculous.
Something stupid like
ridiculous.
That.
Ridiculous. So that whole thing, that's how everything is figured, that's why the ratings, because we didn't change anything in the way, in the show that we were doing. Mark in the Morning was the same on that day as it was the next day when that guy had become 55.
Yep.
But it was only because of that, and then someone else had a birthday, and they were out. We were screwed.
Yeah, and I think they're required to, they're not allowed to do it after 2 years or something. So
yes,
the
24
panel
months.
Will roll over
yes,
all the time.
Yes, we lost a couple of,
so you
could
have
family.
Like, you could be in your wheelhouse and have this great group of meters listening to you, but all of a sudden that wave of turnover happens. And you just lose half of your ratings because you've got a brand new group of people.
And you're also talking about, you know, like ranking. You're talking about tenths of points, mm-hmm. the difference between you. There are very many times in certain demos where you can be in a three or four-way tie for second or third or fourth place with somebody. Mm-hmm. And you lose a tenth of a point, and then suddenly you're in sixth place ranking in that. And that impacts a lot. Advertisers, that's basically how you get your rates to charge your advertisers what they're going to pay for your advertising on your radio station. That's how we make our money. That's how a lot of us make our bonuses. And you can get edged out by a tenth of a point on, you know, kind of getting a little money. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's happened to all of us. So, yeah, it's whack, as the kids say.
I don't think they do that.
No,
anymore.
No. Are they not saying that? Josh, are they saying that?
I don't know.
Did you have any other thoughts?
I was just thinking about like my beer glass.
And my
is
beer's
empty.
Gone too.
Yeah, it's all gone. Yeah. Can we end the podcast when the glasses are empty? Just start a new one.
The official timer.
The glass is empty. That
another one.
We should just have a podcast where we think of podcast names.
Can we just have a different podcast for every name?
Did you have any other thoughts about the day on the shutdown on Thursday?
I don't know. I barely. It was just constantly moving around, and I remember at one point in time, everybody was getting emotional, and I was just like, I can't deal with this anymore. And I went into my office, and I sat down. I turned around. I'm looking out my window, and I have this amazing view from my office,
Hollywood
Hills.
Side.
I'm
just
like, they're on the 19th floor.
I'm literally
at
pounding my emotions down inside me. I'm like, must not cry. Will not show sadness. And I'm like, okay. So I turn around and I'm looking out this, and I'm like, this is the last time I'm going to see this view. And I'm just like, no, Josh, stop doing it. You woman, stop it. And then Mark Thompson starts texting me, and he's just saying all this great things. I was just like, I can't take it anymore. Pull the plug. And it was like, we still had 3 hours to go.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So I think everybody was, the last day was really great. The last day it was nice because we had everybody in, and it was like a family.
And you finally knew. And I mean, the fact that you had some warning must have been nice.
And the thing about that station to me is, you know, like you, and are you from California?
No.
All right. So like you guys, I don't have any family out here.
Right.
You know, my only family was the people in that station.
Right.
And I didn't get along with all of them, but I don't get along with all my family either.
You know what I mean? I get along with people I work with way better than I get along with my family.
There's some people at the station that I like better than the people that I don't like at that station. I like better than some people in my family. But,
name names, both coworkers and family, please.
Whisper them in my ear.
Nobody's listening.
Andy knows. Trust me, he's seen the way
Let's
I react.
Let's call him.
But just having an end is like it's, you know. Everybody's still my family, but it's like I moved away again. You know, there isn't, like I said before, the place was like a treehouse. Like, you went in, and even though you got pissed off at somebody, you're like, ah, screw them. I'm going to go throw football down over here with somebody else and I'm going to bitch about to them, and then they'll make it. And it just eventually went away.
Yeah.
And then that kind of knowing that that's not there anymore is that's where it hurts the most.
Yeah. What about you? You have any anything
else? I remember when I left, the big thing for me was I realized how quickly I need structure. That I thought I was an independent fellow, and that like having my own business, and because here's what's interesting about what happened that day, and I was just telling Les
Moonves.
No,
texting him.
No, he's not returning my calls.
Nesman
Tarkovsky. I had an appearance today in La Habra, and I met a gentleman who won $3,000 from you. You announced his name on the air.
Wow.
Les. He says hello.
Nice. Hi, Les.
I forgot what I was going to say. Where was I going
you need
with
structure.
This? I realized that I needed to have the ritual of going to a place and being with people, and I think it's what you're talking about.
On Monday or Friday, I kept my alarm at 6 a.m. Got up, took a shower, and it was But go ahead.
But here's the story I was telling Les: is that the day before Sherry and I were let go from our morning gig there, I'd been doing some acting. I'd been taking improv. I had done UCB. I was going out on auditions and stuff. Mm-hmm. I was also doing a whole bunch of voiceover and commercial production work as a side job.
Did a little short film.
I shot a TV pilot based on radio. But I was getting up to be there. I think at the time I was on at 5:30, and then I did the 10 at 10 until almost 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
So it was a long shift and up at weird hours, and I was tired, and I said to my manager, who was helping me get auditions at the time, I literally said out loud, I almost wish one of my jobs would go away so I had time to pursue more of this other independent stuff. And the next day, the universe said, okie dokie. So I'm really careful what I ask for out loud from now on. But the revelation of that was I spent about a year before I went back to another radio gig, and I had to create my own ritual. I didn't have that group to see every day. And one of the things I loved about my job at The Sound before Sherry joined me, which was fine, we got along great, I kind of loved having the place to myself and then have a few people kind of filter in, and I really enjoyed the people I was around. When I didn't have that interaction anymore and I was just doing stuff from my walk-in closet in my apartment and I was in my yoga pants all day, I realized...
That's the fence we're in right now.
And I was waking up earlier than I should have because that was just ingrained in me. I still do that. I would go down to Einstein's Bagels every day, read the LA Times, of which I stole from a neighbor, and then I would put it back together and place it back on his doorstep when I came back up. I kind of had to do the same thing every day to feel like I was part of a structure. I didn't like being untethered. And I realized that as much as my feeling of needing to kind of create my own work and create my own independence, I also really need to be part of something. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why when I got this new job, I'm working at K-Earth now, the combination of knowing certain things I'm doing every day are going to be the same is comforting to me. Having flexibility of schedule and also not a lot of restrictions on the air because I'm on at night when nobody cares. Right. And if you look at the ratings, nobody's listening much. That I need that combination to really feel satisfied. So to me, that was the first thing that was really glaringly missing was not even just... I mean, I missed being around people, and I felt a blow to the ego. I mean, it's the first job I've ever lost in my life that wasn't on my own terms, that I didn't walk away from on my own terms. So that hurt a little bit as a grown-up, adult-ass man being told we no longer need your services. I had to kind of get over that, lick my wounds a little bit on that. But it was just structure. It was just like I didn't have anything to go to in the morning, and there was a little void there. I really missed that.
Yeah. Was it you who said you liked the way I introduced Uncle Joe after Larry was at the station a couple weeks ago?
I don't know. I wasn't. What did I say?
It got to be 8 o'clock. It was time for Uncle Joe to take over. I'm like, all right, now it's time for the guy that they fired you for.
Yep.
I wonder if we need more beer before I...
Should I go get that? Could I just walk into your house?
Yeah. Try it. See what that gets you.
All right.
Maybe knock on the door first.
Yeah. Okay. Ah, if you're going to make it boring.
Yeah. All right. So Larry's going to go do that.
Okay.
Or should we split this up into two?
Let's end this, and we'll get.
Why don't we end this
part two?
Yeah, this, yeah. That, see, this is what they call. What do they call this? Falling off your stool. Jesus,
I'm got a lap full of Larry.
It's called a cliffhanger. It's called a cliffhanger in the biz.
All right. Well, we'll give him a good tease.
You know, next episode, we're just going to come in straight buzzed. Instead of this time, we started off
so,
and working on it.
You guys,
next one, we're already there.
Ask me questions.
Next one's guaranteed to be good.
Ask me questions about my mental state at the demise of my livelihood after I've had a couple of beers.
Okay.
That should be a lot of fun.
Oh,
right
no.
There.
Oh,
so
no.
So we'll do that.
So this is going to be the endlessly sobbing episode.
Can we ask you and then just go get out here and drink?
Yeah. You can do that. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. It's Your Artificial Friends. It's on iTunes, Audio Boom. And subscribe to the feed if you haven't already. Tell a friend about it.
I think you need to play the music on the way out, too.
Oh,
I think you have to bookend it.
I think it's only going in, isn't it?
I think maybe an instrumental version as you're doing the
ending
credits.
You got to come up with little, you know, variations on it. Na 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 na.
Here,
na,
we'll
na.
Pick it up and I'll hold this and you play on the way out. Can you multitask?
Not really.
God, you need a producer.
Put me
what
on
the fuck?
Thank God we can edit.
Aren't you a producer, Josh? Shouldn't you be thinking of this stuff?
So anyway, make sure you tell a friend about this if you haven't already. We certainly would appreciate you doing that. And you can reach out individually to us. I am at Andy_Chanley@twitter.com. By the way, I don't know when I've had more new Twitter followers than when my job took a shit. It's good for that. It's like, you know, when a rock star dies and suddenly a bunch of their albums are sold.
Go to number one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah, how many residuals are you getting off those new Twitter followers?
Sorry. Anyway, how do they get a hold of you, Josh?
I updated my email address, so you can reach me at joshuajfligger@gmail.com.
Nice. Ooh. And Larry?
818. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm a little buzzed. At Larry_Morgan on Twitter.
So join us next time on this podcast, Your Artificial Friends. Hey, I wanted to tack on here real quick. You won't have to wait long for the resolution of the cliffhanger. I'll post the rest of this tomorrow, the next podcast. And I wanted to let you know, I forgot to mention it in the podcast today, there is a Facebook page that Aaron Au, one of our favorite listeners of 100.3 The Sound here in Los Angeles, put together. It's called Your Artificial Friends. I think four people have joined so far because we haven't talked about it. Go and check that out. And if you have any messages for us, you can always leave them there. Your Artificial Friends on Facebook. Facebook.com.